On a Christmas hangover here, what's going on? Because maybe you're just disappointed I didn't play the Peanuts music again.
Yeah, pretty disappointed. I'm not disappointed to have it behind us. No, it's kind of nice to not be shopping.
Yeah,
everything's opened up and cleaned up.
Yep.
Yeah, I supported the economy enough with my shopping this year. I think I'm done.
We can get ready to crank up for a new year.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm singing Elvis's "Why Can't Every Day Be Like Christmas?"
Is that
I'm
right?
I'm just gonna stretch it out as long as I can.
His birthday's coming up too, just so you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, January 8th.
Okay. When did he die?
Oh, that I'm not sure.
Okay.
Do you know?
No. This
went morbid in a hurry.
Yeah, that did go morbid.
This is some of the highest quality content fodder we've had yet on the podcast. By the way, it is season 3, episode 51. We skipped Thanksgiving week, so that's why we don't have 52 this year. And glad to be here. I got Eric here with me. Eric.
Morning.
Good morning. Tasha.
Good morning.
I don't feel like I have to introduce you by title anymore.
No, I don't think so.
We're more informal now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, we're in this hammock week between Christmas and New Year's, and half the world isn't working. Right. Half the world's I usually have this week off. But I decided not to this year. But there's a lot you can't get done because when you make the phone call, there's nobody on the other end to answer.
I usually get a lot done this week.
I know. This is one of your big weeks.
This is usually a great week to get work done.
Yeah, it's usually pretty quiet. Good chance to get something done. Good chance to take a day off, too.
I mean, you have 52 great weeks a year.
I do. My life is awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Some of the pictures you posted on Instagram the other night were with your family, the little baby.
I know.
JP?
He's so adorable. PJ.
PJ. I get that wrong every time.
Pete Jr., right?
Yep. He's Peter the 4th.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The 4th. Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's like a dynasty going on in our family.
Is. You don't see that a lot anymore.
Nope.
That's really fun to watch that unfold for you.
Yeah.
But also, you know, hope everybody had a great, safe, loving holiday weekend. For me, it was pretty laid back. Just my kids came over one at a time here and there. My daughter's not in town, so I didn't see her. But, kind of laid back, and it was good that way.
It sure is nice when it falls on the weekend. It makes for a long weekend. It's really nice to have it that way.
That was great, able to get things wrapped up and actually enjoy the weekend and kind of sit back and enjoy it, pick away at some food.
Yeah, we didn't have to worry about, like, a hump day Christmas.
Yeah, no. those are less fun.
Or, like, hump day 4th of July, too, is the same thing.
Yeah, I know.
That's bad.
Just nice when it falls.
Try to figure out what days to take off. And
very odd to see, we got 2 Sunday holidays here at the end of this year.
I know.
So it's
just like a little cherry on top of our 2022 Sunday.
It is. Well, speaking of 2022, when I woke up on New Year's Day 2022, about 358 days ago, we had $196 million in backlog.
We were pretty happy about that.
We were pretty happy about that.
We're very happy.
That's by far the highest. The previous highest, I think, was the previous year at 160.
Yep.
A big backlog coming into the year. And there was a lot to be excited about. COVID was on the wane. I think the COVID mandate was on the wane. And there was a lot to be excited about with a backlog, with a great group of people that you work with. And then before it went too far, some headwinds unfolded on us.
Yeah.
I think Putin decided to invade Ukraine, and that kicked off a whole bunch of challenges.
Certainly the first global headwind that started coming our way.
Yeah.
And fuel prices did all the great things that they started doing, the yo-yo effect, and I shouldn't say yo-yo, it was mainly just on the rise.
It was just one
straight up.
It was just one yo.
One yo, yeah.
Yeah, that went straight up for, and for a company that burns I'll never get the number right, but between 5,000 and 10,000 gallons a day.
Yeah.
When prices go up $2 to $3 a gallon.
It's big.
More than what you may have figured into the jobs. That's pretty significant.
It's very significant. Yeah. Our fuel spend was double.
Yeah. And we had more gallons, but the price per gallon was way higher.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was the danger. You know, you mentioned the backlog that we woke up with, and we were all very excited. I'm still very excited about the backlog we woke up with, but that was kind of the more nerve-wracking part of the backlog, as we saw fuel prices going up and we saw pricing of materials going up and all those things. There's that blessing of having a lot of work in your back pocket and you know you're good, but in the same token, now you're faced with work you got fixed pricing on, and prices are starting to increase.
Yeah, they were based on prices before all that inflation in some ways. We do have a way of accounting for future inflation in our bids, and Pat and team do a good job of that. But we certainly never saw that.
Well, and we do that on what's a normal inflation,
right?
Not out of control inflation. So
not 6, 7, 8%.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in the fuel world, it was diesel was 80%.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard because I keep hearing 6 to 8%, but then you start looking in pockets and it's more 10 to 30%, depending on the pocket that you're looking into. And, you know, whether it's food or fuel or anything, all that stuff has gone up by far more than 6 to 8%. We're paying almost double what we were fuel just 2 years ago.
Yeah. And the same thing applies to asphalt. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah, you know, Josh and his team over there at the plant saw some pretty stiff headwinds this year. I mean, we've talked about it before. They're very, I'd call, commodity-driven. Asphalt being a commodity, natural gas for the plant being a commodity. And both of those markets were very volatile this year. Asphalt, actually, I was looking at it this morning. I got a graph that shows kind of year over year for a few years. And, you know, you look at the ends and it looks like it's kind of tight. A little bit more, but when you look at that gap in the middle, it's a huge peak. And this year, the gap between price and year over year was huge, you know, double. And natural gas did the same thing. And that's something he had to chase. And with some stiff competition as well, you chase and chase.
Yeah, I mean, when you're heating that aggregate and that asphalt up to what temperature?
By the time that stuff's coming into the drum, you're up around 500 degrees on some of it.
So that we burn a lot of natural gas.
Burn a lot.
Heating all that up to about 500 degrees. So a huge component between that and asphalt being up, squeeze the margins on Josh's.
On the hot mix side, absolutely. Yep.
But, you know, other headwinds or just the general inflation, we've kind of hit on that. The supply chain with equipment and parts. I know if you talk to Tim Richards back there, we had one of our low bed tractors down for, I want to say, 2 months on a very basic part. Yeah. And the whole equipment world is still kind of glacial in terms of the way things move. I think we just took on a 938 cat loader that we ordered 15 months ago.
Yeah. And before that, a new triaxle came in as well. And, that we had ordered over a year ago. So, still seeing headwinds on that side. Availability of materials. We had several trucks down this year, some other pieces of equipment, almost all to do with electronic or emissions pieces that made it impossible to run. So we're fighting a reduced equipment fleet, rental fleet, I would say, with a lot of dealers as they're trying to figure out their sort of place in the world too. With
if they can even get the equipment.
If they can even get it. So there's some challenges there. But overall, I think some of the real weird things you see, even picking up sheet piling, you know, the price of sheet piling went through the roof. Obviously, steel was up, but there were times we were basically waiting for a mill in Pennsylvania to start rolling steel again before we could get any steel going. And that's just a real oddity. I've never seen anything like
and,
that.
Yeah, and what they're waiting for, you don't know what their supply chain disruption is, right? It's the raw material coming out of the ground, maybe they can't get their equipment, that sort of thing.
I know we all had the chance. We visited the Carvana site down in Virginia, and you know, there was a model that during COVID was working great. You know, you buy a car online, and we helped build this facility, and we pulled in, and it's about a 60-acre parking lot that was relatively empty. And, you know, their stock price has gone really to the bottom.
It's down about 95%.
Yeah. So
in the last year.
Just crazy swings on some things. And it's hard to say what the markets are going to look like going forward.
Yeah. Well, I know one of the things we wrapped up some pretty big projects that we had going on. We were in the middle of some fairly large projects, starting really Route 9 connector, I-395, yeah. Starting a big project. But so there's a big mix of ramping off work and ramping on to work.
Yeah, you know, we started the year off. You mentioned that backlog part of that. Just a couple of weeks before we started 2022, we had picked up the 395 connector project. Things are rolling there and off to a very good start. Had a great dry summer, which benefited us greatly over there. We were also at the time winding up the West Gardner project with the turnpike. We wound down work at Back Cove West this year, a little bit to go back for. Bridgeton, which was a 40,000 plus foot pipe job out in Bridgeton, Maine. We're winding that up with some cleanup next year. MTA York, we had a lot of large work that started winding down, and we started sort of filling our coffers from there. And we ended this year, in the last 3 weeks here, we picked up a job on the turnpike with down in Saco, exits 35 and 36. And Justin down in the Mid-Atlantic picked up a nice job at the Loudoun County Landfill, as well as the Greensboro Airport at the end of last year.
Yeah, we talked about coming off the Carvana project, and we added a number of projects down in Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
That some of which we didn't even think we had a chance. Some we were third bidder on.
Yep.
We've talked about that before on the podcast, and trying to level out your resources, the work, you know, the crew and the equipment, and then all of a sudden you get handed a job that you were third bidder on 3 months ago, and how do you take that on?
Yeah, and one thing that I think we learned in this last year, well, there's been many things we've learned, but you know, when we got some of that work, it stretched us out a lot geographically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were stretched from Charles County, Maryland, down to Virginia Beach, to South Hill, down to North Carolina.
Yeah.
We're trying to kind of rein that geography back in a little bit, try and share resources and make it a little more efficient. But it's been a good market down there. It's been a good market in Virginia. He's seen some good growth. Things seem to remain pretty hot there. Besides having a good year and seeing growth, he's picked up some great people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a really good group.
Really added
there to
their team, and we have here in New England as well. We've really added some great people this year.
Yeah.
And so we're clear, we didn't set out to be that geographically spread out. The way the work fell and some of the surprises pushed that.
Yeah.
But yet somehow they executed unbelievably.
Hats off.
The way that they worked there, they planned the work, and the way that they mitigated some of the situations, very impressive.
Yeah, really is, and done well financially.
Oh yeah,
the Mid-Atlantic has. I mean, the company wide we have, but they have region down there has really done well financially, and roughly doubled the sales this year over last year.
I'll give them a lot of credit, and I'm seeing this in a lot of places. I think it's something we're getting better and better at. And certainly we're in a climate where owners want to talk more with price and doing what it's doing. But we've been able to value engineer a lot of things and a lot of projects in a lot of places, change scopes, do some different things, work with owners to, one, put some money back in their pocket, but two, leave us with a project that is a lot more efficient and effective to build at the end of the day from a quality
win-win
and everything standpoint.
Winning so in it's the a, field right there.
Back to win-win. Everyone has the outcome that they're seeking.
A philosophy that our executional spirit, driven by safety, dedication, and mutual fairness, will produce exceptional outcomes and a win for all involved.
The owners were very, very pleased with the projects they had built, and financially, it was good for them too.
Yeah, so I you know, guys and ladies out there have done a great job of bringing different solutions to the table and doing the best with what they have, and forming a plan and working that plan day in and day out.
Well, and every single one of them is really an extension of the business development role that Glenn Adams occupies now. You know, if our crew out in the field acts like we're wanting to win in the field, it really helps our business development.
Certainly does.
In perpetuity.
He can't sell what we can't do. So
correct.
It's been great in that respect. And, you know, I will say with what a lot of folks out there don't see is if you go to the bidding table, the amount of work that we sheerly did not bid this year, our focus on areas that we felt projects were best for us, fit us best, sort of in our wheelhouse. You know, we had a very successful year from the bid standpoint too.
Yeah, matching that capacity that we have up to what the workload is not easy.
No.
Because often, like we talked about the job we were third bidder on, you know, you move on.
Yeah.
And then you pick up another job, and then all of a sudden this other one comes back and revisits you. But
and it's pretty incredible. I mean, we're starting out down in Cherry Field on the Down East Wind Project. Last couple of weeks here, we've really started to get some tailwinds behind us as we are getting trees on the ground. But how long has that job been talked about before we actually had ink
we've
on
been
paper?
We've been talking about that for years. Yep.
So it's one of those things that all of a sudden it's here.
Right.
So, which is great.
Think of the 395 connector also. That was talked about years for 40 in the 40 years. So, right. Just goes to show you where you've got some tenacity in following these projects all the way through.
That is true.
Yep. Blanchard's been waiting 39 and a half to build it. So, it's good he's there.
So, we got a net gain of about 50 employees in 2022.
Very happy to have these new people with us.
And thankful for Heather and her part and Pete and those folks for helping onboard and Amy with all that and everybody really in this office that kind of helps to bring the onboarding aspect of those folks on and follow up with them.
And our employee owners.
Right.
Our best new hires are from employee referrals.
Yeah.
So
I think we've still
got
about 35 of those, right? Something like that.
Yeah, we're hovering at a much higher success rate on the employee referral side of things, but certainly a gigantic effort from people getting people onboarded, then send them to the field and people working through it there. I wish that we had retained more, but very happy with the folks that we have retained and we keep swinging.
Yep. So looking ahead to 2023 and beyond, I guess, but primarily 2023, we're going to wake up New Year's Day with what?
About 264 million, give or take, a couple million in backlog. So 264. Yeah.
So that's.
That's wow.
68 million more than last year.
And, yeah. And after working off.
Yeah. Almost 200.
Almost 200. Yeah. Yeah.
That lays out into 2025.
Yes.
That backlog.
Some of those projects. Yep.
So the folks listening that are clutching their heart right now.
We don't have to do it all in one year.
No, we don't have to get it all done by April 1st. No, this is a batch of work that runs out a period of years. And one of the things that we talked about last week on the podcast is the estimating team and the operations team talking more and getting more involved with each other so that we're aware. I think we always were aware of the capacity versus what's out there to do work, but getting those operations managers more involved in that, I think has really helped a lot. And Tasha, you brought that up last week.
Yeah, I think there's direct feedback now. I think it was filtered feedback before.
Yeah.
But now it's like, what do you think? Can you handle this project? Do you have the crews? And, It's a lot of really good back and forth that I've observed. I realize I'm on the outside looking in, but it's definitely a teamwork approach and making sure that it's a good fit.
What I like about all those conversations is communication comes in many forms, and all of us have a hard time saying no, especially when it comes to work, because we're just driven right. to want to do more. But nothing hides a person's body language. And, you know, when you're looking at Tim LePage and there's a job and his whole body tenses up and his eyes bug out, it tells a story. And these guys have gotten a lot better. It's difficult for me, so I know it is them too. But just the ability to say, no, that doesn't fit us, it's become more and more commonplace.
Yeah. Well, and I even saw last week there was a job that did fit us, work we would normally love to do, but it was like timing, it doesn't fit. And we had to let it go. And I know that was hard for the individual to say that. I mean, it was very honest because it was like, I do want to do this work.
Yeah. And we've got to focus on things that we know are coming to that are beneficial to us in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So it's not, we're not looking at the workload like it's a 2023 workload. We're looking like it's a 2040 workload so that the folks we work with and the type of work we do are the ones that we can hopefully go back to work for.
Repeat.
And the one-offs, while they may fit us in terms of what we like to do, the one-offs, we have to look at them in terms of what they mean to us in the future too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we talked a little bit before about recession and we've talked about this on the podcast before. In 2019, we were sure we were going into a recession.
Yes. Yeah, we were.
And we put together some strategies to ensure that we could survive that recession and, you know, have the right capital level. And that included selling Molson Electric. That included selling the Ready Mix plant, our office building in Bangor. And so we turned a lot of those, what I'd call underperforming assets, into cash. But now in 2022, coming into 2023, a totally different macro system has evolved. The economy, with much higher interest rates now, much higher inflation than we'd been dealing with. It would take a pretty conservative economist not to start screaming recession coming up. Maybe conservative isn't the right word, but somebody maybe that's not terribly in tune.
I think all of the economists that I'm following and even folks who are in the financial sector are all stating they believe 2023 is going to be a recession. And then the question is how deep and how long will it be? Yeah. Most that I am following are saying 18 months. Yeah. I mean, I know nobody exactly knows, but the tea leaves, the yield curve, which is the difference between the short-term treasury rate and the long-term treasury rate, inverted in a big way last week. That typically means that they're expecting a recession to come. Yep. So, it would seem like that's going to happen. And I'm hopeful that our backlog allows us to just stay out of that misery. I mean, mm-hmm. we'll have some things to deal with for sure, because obviously it's going to affect some owners and their cost of the money to build right. their projects. But I'm hoping that that means that we can be just in really good shape to weather it.
I share that same hope that maybe we'll see a bit of a bench instead of a valley or a,
a
complete plummeting of where we're at. And I feel very confident with the backlog we have that we should be able to bridge some of that. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's bound to come here at some point in time, and you're already starting to see throughout the country some large mm-hmm. employers laying people off and just some different sectors.
So. Well, and so for me, as we've always looked at recessions or weaker economic times, there's only so many things we can control. Yeah. But and understanding what we can control is really a big key, and then controlling that. Yeah. And we can't necessarily worry about things outside of our control. We have to be aware of how they affect us. And one thing that, you know, that always will be in our control mostly is execution. Now, there are things outside of our control that can control our execution, like whether we can get materials and that sort of thing. But we can usually manage around that. Yep. But it's really the execution of this backlog. That's what's going to determine if it's a good backlog or a bad backlog.
That's where the rubber hits the road. We can sit and stare at numbers all day long, but until the job's in place, right. until we've executed.
Now, we think it's a good one. We've got good feelings about this backlog.
And I've got really good feelings about how our people can execute based on what we Absolutely. Saw them do in 2022. It's more of that. You know, if we continue on that role and we double down on it, I think we're going to be in great shape.
Yeah, the last three
execute
years.
Through this backlog as well. Our folks have really shown that they can hone their craft and find ways to do it better.
Yeah, I've got all the confidence in the world. I think having the backlog already in hand provides us with an excellent opportunity to start off that way, because we've got time to plan. We've got time to really get into the details of the projects. We've got time to think about those value engineering type things. And we've got time to put a plan in place to execute.
Yeah.
And if we focus on the planning up front, when we get in the field, it makes it a lot easier if you have a plan ready to go, because you can navigate and change your plan a lot easier than if you're just flying by the seat of your pants.
Right.
And I think we're getting better and better at that all the time. There's still room for improvement, but we're coming on a year that we seem to be clicking on all cylinders. And one of my biggest fears is, after having a few good years here, it's very easy to become complacent.
Yep.
And
that's why I mentioned that the execution is the key. That's the difference between a good year, a bad year, and a great year.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It drives everything. And, you know, getting complacent in good times, we can't allow ourselves to do that. And sharpening your pencil, sharpening how you do things, isn't just for bad times. We should be doing that now in preparation for the bad times.
And I would argue that that's what's allowed us since the start of COVID, is the way that we've approached execution. has what's allowed us to rise above all of these different headwinds.
Yeah.
Because the any one of these could knock you right backwards.
Yeah. Right.
But our folks have been, you know, day to day on ensuring that we're doing things as efficiently as possible, and value engineering, as you mentioned, Eric, and just finding creative ways, creative approaches. That has made all the difference in these last 2.5 years.
And you don't, you can plan. You can plan out ahead. You can plan for a day, a week, a month, 2-3 months. But each and every day what you do has an impact on that plan. That's where it, the rubber does meet the road.
Yep.
It's each and every day. You don't build a brick wall all at once. You build it one brick at a time.
You don't start at the top.
And you don't start at the top. You start,
at the bottom.
You start at the bottom. You got to stay level. You got to stay all those things. And we're very much the same way. You build it one brick at a time, 1 yard at a time, and focus on that each and every day.
So I'm, you know, I'm happy with the pipeline we've got. We've got a number of things that are sizable that may come our way. We don't know.
Yeah, the pipeline of wind ahead. I think we probably ought to touch on it, Herb. You know, it was probably back around early part of November, the political climate with elections and all that. That dust is settled.
Yeah.
We know who's in office in places. We know what their philosophies are. And really optimistic that especially in the renewable energy market, there's going to be some good opportunities here in the next, well, really year to 5 years, hopefully. Yep. So
that's what we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say thank you for a great year to you two and also to everybody else that's listening. It's really been such a rewarding thing to see these headwinds develop and wonder how they're going to be managed. And now, you know, at the end of the year, you go, it worked.
I mean, it's like, well done, everybody. Well done. Well, everyone together did that. You
yeah.
know?
And it sounds maybe contrived, what I'm trying to say, but it wasn't easy, right? It wasn't easy. It was a lot of hard work on the part of a lot of people. Yes. And, you know, you could just feel the commitment to each other that the crew has, you know, the dedication to achievement and, you know, in service of their company's continuation and strength.
Well, I know for me, Herb, if I was going to invest anywhere, it'd be right here. That's where I am investing. And I double down on that investment every time because we've got a lot of good things going for us. We certainly have challenges ahead, but boy, this group comes out swinging, and I think we're in fighting weight at this point in time. So I'm really excited. I thank you both for a great year too. Thank everybody out there. It's been enjoyable, and let's just keep repeating it.
Yeah. I hope as we roll into the new year that people take a chance to just reflect back on the year. Yeah. And I'm sure there were hard fought wins, you know, and I'm sure that there's a lot of proud moments of what they built. And, so I think it's a cool time of year just to take stock on what happened and just appreciate sometimes the adversity that you've overcome and then get a little bit of wind in your sails to go into the next year and know that,
And then let's have a similar conversation at the end of 23.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, when I look back over these last 3 years, it's like a career fits in the last 3 years. It's just insane.
I know.
But yet it's so cool to see how this company has banded together and overcome. It's just very cool.
We talk about the changes a lot. You know, Herb, you mentioned some of them, but I look at adding 3 people into our workforce advancement group and the results that's yielding. We're still building all that out. It'll look different a year from now than it looks today.
Sure, well.
But that's part of progress. That's part of always improving. And take stock. It's
you should feel really, really good about the year that you've had.
Absolutely.
And everybody, it's been a hard-fought everybody season. Doing it together. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay, we'll go on to shout out.
No plural on that
No plural. We got one shout out. And Tash, you made a point. I'll let you go ahead and make the point because you got the text calling for shout out.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. I mean, I'm like everybody else. I got the text. And actually, I was enjoying my family. And I saw it on my, I watch and I just went right back to enjoying my family.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that we only had one, I said, I hope it's because everybody was just very busy enjoying a long weekend with their family and Christmas activities. And maybe somebody was ice fishing. I don't know. And just having
somebody was Jeshua Dearborn was.
I think okay, so that's who it was. I saw that somebody had been ice fishing, and just
I'm going to give him a shout out for ice fishing. How's that?
It's a great activity, and I'm that's what it was for me. I went right back to being with my family. I think that's what you meant, right?
Yep, that's exactly what I meant. So we've got one shout out. I'll take this turn and read it from Preston Cole. Shout out to all employee owners that are still working, and thanks to all who made my first season a great success. What a uplifting shout out that is.
It really is. It's nice to, yeah, to recognize that there are a lot of people involved in making a season a success.
I had a mentor tell me years ago that a sign of success is that people's attitudes are the same at the end of the year as they are starting the year. Mm-hmm. And so to see an attitude of gratitude like that and just well wishes from Preston, I think it's a great thing.
Yep, very good.
Sign of where
Thank
we're
you,
at.
Thank you, Preston.
And with that, Preston wins the Newton Grindle Award. Well deserved. That'll be a $50 gift certificate to the company store coming in his way.
Nice.
So we have a couple announcements. Tasha, you want to handle this or you want me to handle it?
I'd be happy to handle Thank it, you. Herb. I was hoping you'd ask. So the first announcement is on health reimbursement benefit. For those who maybe have forgotten that when your deductible, we have a $5,000 deductible for 2022. And if you've gone over $4,000 into that last $1,000 deductible, you can get it reimbursed by the company. And that benefit will continue on for 3 months after the end of the year, and then you don't get your reimbursement. So you want to be checking what your deductible is right now, and you might want to max out your deductible for some, you know, if you've already gone over, it's an opportunity to squeeze probably too late, but maybe one last thing in. And if you're between 4,000 and 5,000, you can submit it and get your up to $1,000 for an individual or $2,000 for a spouse or family reimbursement back.
Okay.
Any questions about that, of course, you can direct to Amy Soames. And then you want me to take the next one too?
Sure.
Just because I'm on such a roll?
But Amy does also go on to say you can log on to MyCigna.com.
Oh, yes.
For claim information.
So you can see where you're at with your...
Right. So that's MyCigna.com.
Very good. And then as a reminder, we have new insurance starting on January 1st, 2023. We'll be moving to diversified. Those new health insurance cards are in the mail, as they say. And so you want to be on the lookout for them. And then after you get them, when we start into January, you want to get rid of your old cards because you don't want to accidentally use your old one somewhere. That will cause you major headaches and start using the new diversified card. And if you run into an issue where you need your card, you haven't received it yet, you can reach out to Amy and she'll help you with that.
Okay. That takes us to the very bottom of the podcast where we sign off.
Where we say, thank you for a great year.
Thank you for a great year.
Thank Absolutely. You for a great year. Absolutely.
And stay out there. Look, big weekend coming up.
Yes. Be right? safe.
Be safe. Be safe.
Do not drink and drive.
What Tasha said.
Do not make arrangements for a ride.
Close 2022 out on a positive note for you, your family, for all of us. And I'm excited, Herb. You said it before, and Tasha. Ready to kick 2023 and start beating it up. Let's go.
It's like you hit the reset button. On January 1st, you wake up and you go, okay, what are we going to make this year?
Yes, man, there's no Super Bowl trophy. It's on to the next one.
That's right.
Well, with that said,
zero accidents.
Zero accidents.
Zero accidents. Thank you, folks. Happy New Year.